the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers the Arizona Cardinals. With me, recording on a Tuesday, it is draft week with Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. And Seth, I did the math. This is our 11th. Last year was our 10th, and I went back. The first year that we did it was, in fact, 2015. It was the first year that we did the mock draft. So we are mock draft number 11. And I don't know about you. This was a harder one for me than we've done in the last few years, it seems.
Well, I think, and people will find out just shortly, but I think after the first four picks, it becomes very difficult, because not only that, there's just so much bad information coming out. There's also good information, in the sense that there's some stuff that we got that we'll discuss as we talk about certain prospects throughout this show, and making sure that that these things get vetted. But if things happen, then there's some explanation to it, and we'll get to it as we go through this whole thing.
And we know mock drafts are basically an exercise in futility, and I think we generally do a pretty good job at the very end. But like, even still, last year, both of us both had 7 team and pick corrections. So like, they were 7 players. We had them nailed on the pick and the team. Seth had 8. Total that were player to team, and then one that was pick to player. And I had 10 players that I picked the right team. They were just three of them came in at the different numbers, because we can't predict trades. We try to predict some trades, and Seth has a couple of trades in the first round. But so yeah, let's go through this, because I think we can jump through. We'll break down the first 10. We'll break it down by 10, and then the last 12. So the Cardinals pick will be in the second 10, perhaps, unless there's a trade. So let's go ahead and get started. And it feels like for our picks, as we start off this draft, the top 4 we are convinced of. And we know that picks 1 and 2 are basically dead to rights. So let's not delay this. Seth, you and I both, and I think the entire world, will get that first pick right. And the Tennessee Titans are going to pick Cam Ward, because it's obvious they did nothing at quarterback. And and he's clearly their guy.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, it could be a curveball, and it's Shedeur Sanders, but that feels...
We would have heard that by now, I'm pretty sure.
Well, especially with the Sanders family, right? Like, there's no way this would have been a secret for that long. But yeah, I mean, it just feels very chalky at this point. And that takes us to the second pick, which also feels very chalky at this point, right?
Number 2, Travis Hunter. Like, everything, even if you look at the betting lines, like, these two picks are... like they're locks. They're absolute locks. Like, why would anyone bet anything but them?
But it's also a sucker bet. We talked about this the other day. It's like, for Cam Ward, I think it's like you have to bet $2,000 to make $100. Like, it just on the off chance that something wild happens, that's not worth it. And people can say like, oh, it's a free $100. It's like, it is, but like, it's still gambling. So like, it's not,
and you have to gamble so much to win that little. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's minus 2,000 for Travis Hunter at number 2. So it's like, there's the small chance it could be Abdul Carter, but really there was a major shift in the betting lines. What was it, about a week and a half ago, that Travis Hunter became the clear favorite?
And sorry, Jess, I am completely wrong. It would cost you $20,000 to make $100 on Cam Ward. So it's literally the dumbest thing you can possibly do with your money.
Yeah, don't bet on the first pick in the draft unless you have insider information that they're not going to go that far, because it's become very clear that Cam Ward is the top quarterback in this class. But as we talked about, it's not a wildly impressive quarterback class. Cam Ward's got the tools. He's very toolsy. He's got the arm, he's got the athleticism, but he's got experience. But there's nobody in this draft. This is not like last year or in other drafts. You're like, all right, they got their guy. They got their guy. They're going to have a guy. And hopefully Cam Ward comes out to something. Travis Hunter, I'm excited to see. And of all places, Cleveland's a great place for a team of relative non-relevance to really push the envelope as to how much he can play on both sides of the ball. Don't you think that's going to be kind of fun to see as a rookie, how much he can handle both sides of the ball?
Yeah, and like you said, it's a good fit in the sense that they need help.
They need receiver help. They need defensive help. So why not? A guy who can do both.
Right, and the defense isn't bad. So, like, it's fun to see a guy like that fit into that area.
So we go to pick number 3 with the New York Giants. We both also agree on this. It's going to be Abdul Carter.
I think the only wrench right now would be if a team was trading up, right? Like,
that's true. Although at the same time, the way people are talking about Shedeur Sanders, doesn't it seem really unlikely that a team is going to go up that high to get him?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, right? Like, so the question becomes the weird thing, and we'll get to this shortly, but could a team be trading into the top 5 to pick a running back?
That's a possibility. Now, Peter Schrager said today on ESPN, or said on Tuesday, that is, that the Browns and Giants are taking phone calls for those picks, waiting for, like, a Godfather trade. The way he said it is they're not slamming. They're listening. Like, and you know why? You know where they're listening right now? It's because they knew who they're going to pick. And so,
well, and for those, yeah. Well, and for those that remember, this was exactly the same situation we had last year with the Arizona Cardinals, where they basically let it be known, like, hey, if you want the 4th pick, we're happy to deal it. We'll take 3 first round picks. And and everybody was like, well, we're not going to do that. And it's like, okay, then we're not going to trade the pick. Like, you either meet
the price. We'll get Mark. It's fine.
Right, exactly. You either meet the price or we're taking the guy we want. And that makes sense. That's what good teams do. You set a ridiculous price. If somebody wants to meet it, you're like, okay, we love Marv. We love Travis Hunter. We love Abdul Carter. But if the Bears want Ashton Giante and they give us a Ricky Williams type trade, yeah, okay, deal. Like, we love Abdul Carter, but you know what? We'll be okay going to get, you know, whoever the next best pass rusher is in your mind, right? So that's the bugaboo with that situation. So that's how it fell. And then the 4th pick, I think the first 4 picks are fairly chalky. Would you not agree?
I do agree, and we both agree that they're going to go with Will Campbell. The Pats need a left tackle. I cannot see Calvin Banks jumping that far up. And as we've discussed, Membo, as athletic as he is, has been right tackle only. So it would be a bit of a projection to say, you've only played right tackle, but we're going to make you our left tackle. And that's exactly what happened with Jedrick Wills, wasn't it? Wasn't Jedrick Wills coming out of college a right tackle, and Cleveland moved him to the left side?
Yeah, and not only that, remember, Jedrick Wills only played right tackle in high school. So, like, he was a guy that just had never been on the left side. So it was a big risk, you know, and not to beat this dead horse, but, like, you had Tristan Wirfs right there, a guy that had done both already, was, you know, and then was one of the freakiest athletes ever, and you know, the Browns browned, and so, you know, it makes sense in that case, and Campbell kind of fits what Vrabel likes from his players and what he wants, so it makes sense from there.
Now, the pick number five is where things start to get crazy, and this is like the Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars, they have the fifth overall pick, and for it feels like weeks and months, Mason Graham has been pegged to be the pick, and it's a nice fit, but Adam Schefter, and we have to preface this, Adam Schefter published his draft intel article on Monday with the stuff that he's hearing. One of the things of note that has come out of those before is that he said last year, you know, he's not saying that he has a lock, but I'm hearing Michael Penix to the Falcons, and guess what happened? And one of the things that came out of this article is saying that the Jags, and we've heard this over the last couple of weeks, that the Jags are going to make a pick that makes a statement. And as nice as Mason Graham is as a player, you and I think they're going to make a splash for someone to help Trevor Lawrence, don't you?
Yeah, and the odds have shifted heavily, heavily, Jess. I don't know if you've looked at it. And so even when we made this, I thought I was ahead of the curve. Now I'm 100% behind the curve because my pick, Ashton Gianti, the number five overall pick to the Jags, is now minus 130. But even your pick, Jess, is now only plus 600, and yesterday was plus 2,500. So the numbers have crashed. So
and Ted McMillan, which is my pick, and that's the one suggested. That's the one I took the bait from Schefter, who seemed to suggest that maybe it's going to be Ted McMillan, T-Mac out of Arizona, and you bet MGM, it's even down to plus 475. So it's now minus 120 or minus 130 on your book for Genty, plus 225 for Graham, plus 475 for McMillan. I'm taking the bait. I'm picking Tet McMillan to give Trevor Lawrence another big-time target. They added Brian Thomas last year, Tet McMillan. That will hopefully do the trick for them. But you've got them going Genty, beef up that running game. I've got Jags taking McMillan fifth overall, which takes us to pick number six.
By the way,
the
Raiders.
Yep.
And I was going to say real quick, if you want a semi-long shot, a guy I trust that's tuned into the Jags has Kelvin Banks. So Kelvin Banks is plus 1,500. Jess and I do not have that. So we're not saying it's going to happen, but if you want a little bit of a long shot love and take a little bit, that
plus 2,000 on BetMGM too.
So there you go. Like, you know, throw a dollar on it, win 20 bucks, have some fun. That takes us to the Raiders. So if Giante's off the board, where do they go? I went Armand Mimbu. So the athletic offensive tackle, I've heard some people that said Mason Graham, and I've heard some people that say Will Johnson. I don't have much to say about Mason Graham. I just think that they've invested so heavily along that defensive line. I don't think there's a problem with Mason Graham. I don't think there's anything, but I just don't see it. And then Will Johnson, just Albert Breer had some notes today. Did he not?
He did. I haven't read them, but apparently there is the injury is concerning, is it not?
Yeah, so they're concerned now not about his short-term availability, but that he could have a degenerative knee issue that could spell trouble for his long-term availability and longevity in the league. So that's going to be something to watch, man, because
you hate to see these come out right now.
Right, and so that just means there's question marks and how do they go about that, and how scared off do teams get. So I have on Armand Mimbu going at six, and you have what has been the consensus, but now he may not even be there, right?
If in the case where where the Jags go the direction that you say and they take Genty, well, then I would be I think they would probably go with Memu as well. But Genty is the pick for the Raiders in my mock draft. So I'm basically going chalk for five out of the first six picks. And to noting about the Raiders, also the reason why that makes sense for them is because they already have a left tackle in Colton Miller. And Memu, while he has the athleticism and length to play left tackle, he has been an only right tackle coming out of college. And so you can plug him in right there. And I think that's probably one of the major reasons why we don't see him going to the Pats, because the Pats need a left tackle. And Campbell is just, even with the slightly maybe short arms, his play on the field over the last several seasons just makes that an easy pick. So we've got so this is where now Seth and I start to digress on our picks and things get a little crazy. So number six to the Raiders, Memu for Seth, Genty for me, which brings us to the New York Jets. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I have them going Kelvin Banks here. So I think there's a shot they go Mason Graham to pair with Quinnen Williams. I just went with Banks because I think they need help on that left side of the offensive line. And you know, getting Banks does that. And your pick makes the same amount of sense. It just wasn't available for me.
Yes. I've got them going Memu. They've got Olufoshanu. I think they'll be comfortable with them over on the left side. He could play either side, play a little guard, but I think they'll roll with Fashanu on the left side. Then we add Memu on the right side, and their tackle situation is set, which would be a wise thing to do when they've got Justin Fields as their quarterback, which takes us to the Carolina Panthers at number eight. Here is where the fall of Mason Graham ends, and the Panthers will pair Mason Graham out of Michigan with Derek Brown, and that's going to be a fun duo, won't it?
Yeah, it would be. And you know, it's one of those things where it makes sense for everybody involved if he goes there and you know, they need that type of help. So Graham's a really interesting one because I don't know where he ends up. You know, there's his floor is probably 10, right? So if he gets past Jacksonville, even, and I know this is weird to say, but even if you put $10 on every team after to pick him, like you're guaranteed to at least break even, if not make a little money. So, you know, you look at him at six to the Raiders, he's plus 500. You look at him at seven to the Jets, he's plus 750. You look at him at eight, where you have him going, he's plus 800. You look at him at nine, spoiler alert, where I have him going, he's plus 700. And you look at him at 10, he's plus 1200. So literally you break even, and if he falls outside of that, you chalk it up, right? You go, well, did not see that coming at all. But it's really interesting because you're basically hedging at this point. Like, okay, if he doesn't get picked fifth overall, I'm going to take a shot and see if I can make some money on this guy.
Yeah, but your pick for the Panthers is
I just went
Walker.
Yeah, I just went chalk. I mean, it's boring, but everybody seems to have this pick, so it's definitely not going to happen.
And here's at number nine, Seth. Seth goes with Mason Graham, as he said, and this is where things get interesting. Shedeur Sanders, he is the big mystery of this draft because once he wasn't going second overall, where is he going? You wouldn't think that the Raiders, after trading for Geno Smith, are going to go that route. So you knock them off. The Saints need a quarterback. They've got Spencer Rattler, and Derek Carr's injury puts the start of the season in danger. And Derek Carr's basically just been like, Derek Carr is a very productive quarterback that doesn't help you win games. And it doesn't help you be a contender. He's a very good player, but this Saints team needs to go a different direction. Would they continue in quarterback purgatory? I don't know. I'm taking the bait. Shedeur Sanders goes number 9 to the Saints.
It makes sense, Jeff.
And that means the Steelers have to go a different direction.
But it makes sense because, man, that quarterback room is awful. I mean, it's just awful. There's a chance that Derek Carr cannot play this year.
We saw Spencer Rattler play. It wasn't pretty.
Right. And people can go, oh, well, no, not oh, well. Like, you have to get somebody in there. You know, Kellen Moore is a quarterback-friendly coach. He looks like he's got the goods. So, yeah, I don't see them passing on him. And then I have them taking Mason Graham, as I kind of spoiled. I think that's where his fall ends. You know, you look at their defensive linemen. They have Brian Breesy. They obviously have Cameron Jordan, but he's getting up there. You can add a guy like Mason Graham and have a really imposing and ferocious defensive line.
And then at number 10, this is where we go a different direction as well. The Chicago Bears at number 10. I have them going, as they've gone this offseason, building the offensive line. So they traded for the dude that played, Jonah Jackson. They traded for Joe Tooney. They've got Darnell Wright at right tackle. Kelvin Banks, who I think it was that Peter Schrager said, he and Jahdae Barron expect them to go higher than some of the consensus boards. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is that spot. Kelvin Banks, left tackle, shores up that offensive line, gives offensive coordinator Ben Johnson sort of the upfront that he wants, because that's what he had in Detroit. He had a very good offensive line that allowed him to do the things with Jared Goff and the receivers and the running backs that he had. I mean, there is a shot that you might see them, like, if Genty for some reason falls, Chicago could land him. But I'm saying protection over weapon. And you say weapon over protection. But also you have all three of the top tackles already off the board in Campbell, Membu, and Banks.
Yeah, and so I went with a little bit of a surprise. Colston Loveland is the first Colston Loveland with the first tight end off the board. I know some people don't think that'll happen. It's an interesting one. I went with Loveland, a better all-around tight end. Maybe not the pass catcher that Warren is, but a better all-around tight end. So,
and that takes us to the end of the first 10. So both of us go Cam Ward first overall, Travis Hunter the Browns second overall, Abdul Carter number 3 to the Giants, Will Campbell tackle out of LSU to the Pats. Then at number 5, it gets different. The Jaguars get Ashton Jeanty and Setz, and they take Arizona's Tet McMillan on my pick. 6, the Raiders, Armin Membo for Seth, Ashton Jeanty for me at number 6. The Jets at number 7 take Kelvin Banks and Seth Smock, and they take Armin Membu in my number 8. Carolina Panthers, Jalen Walker for Seth, Mason Graham out of Michigan for me. Graham goes next at number 9 for Seth to the Saints, while I have them going with quarterback Shedeur Sanders and wrapping up the first top 10. Bears, Colston Loveland for Seth, and Kelvin Banks, the tackle for the Bears in my mock. So coming next on the Rise of Seared podcast, the best our Cardinals talk of the web. We'll be back to talk about picks numbers 11 through 20. The Cardinals will be on the clock unless something happens. That's coming next on Rise of Seared. Back on the Rise of Seared podcast, the best our Cardinals talk of the web. Now, looking at our 11th annual mock draft of the first round, we now have picks 11 through 20. And at number 11, we have the first trade. I don't have it. I don't have the trade, but Seth has our first big trade. What's the trade that you've got? Who's moving up and who are they getting?
Yeah, so in this one, I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers moving up in the draft. They want to get up and make sure they get Jihad Campbell before these run of teams that really could take Jihad Campbell. So the Bucs move from 19 up to 11 with the San Francisco 49ers, and they pick up Jihad Campbell. I think they're kind of desperate to get that, you know, that piece for Todd Bowles' defense. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the compensation looks like. I could see this being 19, you know, their third and the next year's third and not a second. So, but we'll see how that all works out. But that's where I have that first trade of the draft going.
And in my case, I have the Niners making a pick at number 11 that makes me sad, because he would be kind of the best case scenario for me for the Cardinals. And that is Mykel Williams, edge out of Georgia, goes to the Niners. And that will make me sad, because pairing him with Nick Bosa, we already have what I think is going to be at least a Jadeveon Clowney type base run defense guy who can produce in the pass rush in Clowney's solid years. I see a young Jadeveon Clowney in Williams, and that's going to pair really well with Nick Bosa.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And you know, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch talked today. My buddy Kyle Posey was, you know, tweeting about it, and he basically agreed with kind of everything you were saying right there, Jess. Like, what they were talking about today screams Mykel Williams.
And that makes me sad, because I want him at number 16. But now, foreshadowing, that's not a possibility. So we go to number 12, the Dallas Cowboys. And while we both agree on the position, we differ on the player. You have T-Mac, Teteroa McMillan coming off the board, giving the Cowboys a pair of McMillan and C.D. Lamb. Well, I go with, since McMillan's already off the board at number 5, I have the Cowboys going with Texas's own Matthew Golden. But does it feel like the Dallas, that the Cowboys are basically set, that like is receiver like the guaranteed pick? But I know it's not, but it feels that way.
It definitely feels that way. It feels like it's heavy in that. The other one that we've seen quite a bit is a running back, right? So would they take an Omarion Hampton there? You look at their wide receiver room, though, man. You know, you mentioned Lamb. He's an all pro. Like, he's one of the best in the NFL. But then it's Jalen Tolbert and Jonathan Mingo. So, yeah, an upgrade there makes a lot of sense. And then that takes us to the Dolphins. So we both have them going secondary, and to be fair, I had the same pick as you, and I backed out once the new information on a player came out, and I went with the chalky safety pick, Malachi Starks.
And I have them going with Will Johnson. Granted, I made that pick. I made that prediction on Monday, or maybe Sunday. So I'm going to stick with it, but he's a guy. Will Johnson is now officially a guy to watch for a potential fall.
And that's the thing. I don't think it's a bad pick at all, Jess. I could still see it happening. I'm just kind of playing the game a little bit. We get back on the same page, though, at 14, right?
Yeah, and with the Indianapolis Colts at number 14, we both have them taking Ty Warren, tight end out of Penn State. And doesn't this make, honestly, for Indianapolis, they've got Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones to give them a 100% reliable target in the middle of the field who can make an, like, a Trey McBride impact type player. Doesn't it make all the sense? And as we've spoken before, like, if you can have a volume pass catcher at the tight end position, as opposed to your X receiver, you are going to save yourself so much money, because the high end is going at $19 to $20 million a year, as opposed to your premier X receivers, which are now at $35-40 million a year.
Yeah. And, you know, they need the help there. They need kind of that outlet. And he's a guy that fits kind of that Trey McBride mold, right? Like, he's a guy that you can spam targets to at different levels of the field, and he can be a athletic pass catcher. They have a good group of receivers in Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman, and Josh Downs. But, and again, we're not trying to throw shade or anything, but their tight end's Drew Ogletree. Like,
if you know who that is, congratulations.
Right, you're a degenerate. So, so that takes us to the Atlanta Falcons, and we both have Georgia players, Jess.
We do. You already had Jalen Walker coming off the board, which means you go with Mykael Williams. And since Mykael Williams is off the board, I have them taking Jalen Walker. I will admit, I was so close, so very close to having them take Shamar Stewart, because to me, you know what that says? That's the most Falcons pass rush pick ever. Right. And I'm thinking they're going to learn. They're going to learn this time. They're going to learn, and they're going to do it differently. And so right. I have them going with Walker, who by like right now, I don't think, which would be really sad because I'd love for the Cardinals to get Jalen Walker. And now both the top pass rushers that I want the Cardinals to get are off the board.
Yeah. And so that takes us to the Cardinals. And it's funny because we both have them making trades, and we both have them making trades with the AFC West.
Yes. Now my trade, and how did my trade come about? Well, guess what? Mykael Williams is off the board. Kelvin Banks is off the board. Jalen Walker is off the board. And I would love any of those guys, as I wrote in my priority. I was kind of matching up my best case scenarios. However, there's also a team that gets antsy. And you've got the Denver Broncos, who they supposedly, according to Mel Kiper, are locked in on Omarion Hampton. I'm not convinced about that. After Ty Warren comes off the board, you know what I think the Broncos would love? As much as they'd like to have Omarion Hampton, I bet they would love a tight end for Bo Nix. And we know that the Chargers are probably going to be eyeing Colson Loveland. They're with the 22nd pick. And so the Chargers and the Broncos, I had thoughts of the Chargers or the Broncos both moving up, either one of those moving for Loveland. And I chose to go with the Broncos because it's slightly better because it's the 20th pick. And then you pick up their third round pick, number 85, for the 16th pick. And so you pick up an extra third to move back when you're not in love with the players, when the players you were in love with are off the board. So the Cardinals trade back to number 16. The Broncos move up and they take Michigan tight end Colston Loveland. And sorry, I might get bit in the butt because if Mel Kiper is right, well, then I should have had them either trading up for Hampton or standing pat. But you also have them trading. And who is the trade partner in your case?
Yeah, I have them trading with the Los Angeles Chargers. I think it's going to be the same package. I know people will be like, well, going from 16 to 22, shouldn't they get it? No, not in this draft, man. Like, if you pick up an extra third just to move down six spots, you're going to be in a good spot. So, you know, they end up with 22 and 86 in this scenario. And the Chargers come up and get Matthew Golden. You kind of look at the receiving core. They've got Ladd McConkey, who's a demon out of the slot. They have Quentin Johnston, who's getting better. They have old and injured Mike Williams, who they just brought back. But, I mean, do any like outside of McConkey, are you happy with anything that they have there? If Loveland was there, I think that he would be the guy they trade up for. But I think they, to your point, they get a little antsy, right? You got to find somebody. They just signed Najee Harris. They still have Hassan Haskins. So I'm not thinking of running back in this instance. So I went with Matthew Golden. They get, you know, the outside burner to try to take the top off defenses.
All right. And so we move to number 17, where we coincide again. The Bengals are going to take a pass rusher, it feels like. They need to. They've got the Trey Hendrickson situation. We both see it's just a matter of who we think it's going to be. So Jalen Walker's off the board, Mykael Williams off the board. We both have them going with the athletic freak, Mike Green, out of Marshall, who led the nation in sacks. And the Bengals seem like the team that would go after that guy. The Cardinals don't pick small school guys under Monty Austin Ford, it seems. And so it makes perfect sense, and they'll probably be successful with him.
Well, and the other thing is that we know, based on what we've heard, that he has not been talked to by the Cardinals. And Ben Albright, who has good information all the time, has stated that the Bengals are one team to keep an eye on when it comes to a guy like a Mike Green, who they're not afraid to take those chances. So we'll see how that works out. But yeah, I think it makes a little bit of sense. So Green ends up in Cincy for both of us. And I think this is the last matchup we have in terms of, you know, same.
We've got heads. One more. We've okay. got one more coming up in the bottom part. But that one was also kind of a chalky pick as well. That one, I think everyone projects that one where it is. But we go to number 18 with the Seattle Seahawks, NFC West rivals. We go a different direction. You have them going with another chalky type pick with Gray Zabel, offensive lineman out of North Dakota State, projects as a center or a guard. That does feel like a very logical pick. It's been mocked a lot of different ways. What's your thought process on that?
That's just it. I mean, I think they have needs at guard and center, and he's probably the best guy that can give you a look at all those positions. So why not get the guy that could be flexible in those spots and makes sense? But your pick makes a lot of sense as well. And this is where I got a little, I looked at it and I said, man, I think there's one name that they would love to potentially go get, or hope falls. And I wanted to ask you this. So let's say a guy that's off the board, Tet McMillan, is available when the Cardinals pick at 16. Do you think the Cardinals would be willing to trade within the division?
You know, I think it all depends on the package, because I, as much as you like to block a division, if it's better for you, you make that move.
So if they threw you 18 and 92, so you got a third round pick. Now, granted, it's a comp pick in the back into the third round. But if you got a third round pick to move down two spots, don't you feel like you kind of have to, like, you owe that to your fans and stuff? Because you're not taking him. I mean, you're right. Not going to take Tech McMillan. So why not make a little hay in that spot? Now, I'm not saying that would happen or anything like that. It's just a scenario I was curious about, because I feel like your pick is a great pick and you're going to have a great reason for it. I just wonder if McMillan's kind of the guy, because he's DK Metcalf.
Like he would replace DK Metcalf with a DK Metcalf type body, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But I have them going, and I will say, I saw a couple of mock drafts where they had Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State. I'm like, they already have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and they are so similar. I'm like, you don't want the same guy. And so I have them going with Luther Burden, who is a, if you have to say, kind of more Deebo Samuel ish. So he gets you a little bit different type of receiver. And so I have him going with Luther Burden. I think at 100%, if Tet McMillan is around, I think the Seahawks would love him. But I see them going receiver since there's no Tyler Lockett, there's no DK Metcalf. They've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and don't they need? They need a playmaker there, especially if you got Sam Darnold, who's coming from a great receiving core. You sign Darnold, and you don't have a great receiving core. So don't you owe it to him to go get yourself another receiver? And that's my logic there.
You owe it to him and yourself that you invested in that. You better have something there. That takes us to, where pick 19, which would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I had them trading down with the San Francisco 49ers. And I have the 49ers taking a gamble. They take, and the fall stops for Will Johnson. You know, you look at their corners. They like Renardo Green. They love D'Amador Lenore. They just picked up Trey Brown, but they, Trey Brown. I mean, so you know, and you've got an interesting guy going there, who would honestly terrify me if they took him. Honestly, would terrify me if they took him.
Well, you have to remember, my pick is not for the Niners because the Niners stood put. So it's for the Bucks in my case.
But that's my thought process. So I have them taking Will Johnson. You have them take. You have.
This is where Shamar Stewart falls to, and you're going to pair his elite athleticism with Todd Bowles. So in that defense, which is tailor made for. Their defense with the guy off the edge is tailor-made for a guy of that skill set. Although I will say this, they haven't had the luck that they had with their last couple of guys, like Shane Tryon, just hasn't done anything. So Shamar Stewart does give you that boom bust. Again, I do not want the Cardinals as a Cardinals fan. I don't want them taking that bet on Shamar Stewart because I worry about the floor. I hope the Stewart does well, and I want another team to take that bet. And the Bucks doing that works for me.
Yep. And now we're into the 20s.
Which is, we're at number 20, the last pick of this segment, which the Cardinals are here. So I will tell you my pick for the Cardinals, and this is a doozy. This is, you know, this is a wonderful pick because Derek Harmon is still on the board. So the Cardinals miss out on Banks. They miss out on Micah Williams. They miss out on Jalen Walker. They trade back, pick up a third-round pick, and they still land the guy that Seth loves the most out of the D tackles in this class in Derek Harmon. You know, he has all-pro potential. He can push for playing time early, even though the Cardinals have a really deep defensive line room. And so the Cardinals get a solid defensive tackle, continue to build that defensive line. And in addition, they get an extra third round pick while getting Harmon. That's perfect. It's nearly perfect, as we'll see what happens there. And while Seth, you have the Denver Broncos, give them your pick who will help that receiver room.
Yeah. I kind of cheated and took a similar page out of your book. You went Colston Loveland. I went with Luther Burden there. So, you know, we both have Burden going real, real close together, kind of in the same realm. You know, they need that joker for Sean Payton's offense, and Burden gives them that. It's a nice fit for Bo Nix.
And that still brings up, so coming next on the Rise Up Sea podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, we'll go through the final 12 picks of the first round. That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, 21 through 32. We go to number 21 of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's quarterback time. And guess what? They didn't have to trade. So just like Kenny Pickett, they didn't have to trade, and they're still able to get a quarterback. Who's your quarterback for him, Seth?
Yeah, I have them going with Shadur there. I think he falls this far. And honestly, I think it's a great fit. I think it's a marriage that can work. And I see this being a success for him. It's a good, you know, it's a good fit. Pickens, Metcalf, a good running game. They need to address the running back situation. But in this draft, that's not going to be something that's difficult to do, right?
Nope. And in this case, since Sanders goes off the board early, I have them going with Jackson Dart. When he is hot, he is hot. And he's got the arm strength to be able to play in the cold. And I think they like his toughness. So it'll give you a little bit. I mean, not the same type of toughness as Ben Roethlisberger, but I think they've been missing that. And so the Steelers get their quarterback. At least whether they're going to sign Aaron Rodgers or not, they have a guy in place to potentially start from day one, which brings us to number 22. And for you, Seth, that is the Cardinals pick because that was formerly the Chargers.
Yeah. And so in this one, I go in, I look at it. You talked about Harmon. Harmon's available. I truly wonder after the news today, you know, and maybe I'm falling for it like you've fallen for it for some picks and I've fallen for some picks. But it's really interesting. I don't have them taking Harmon after the news today of the injury concerns. You know, the news kind of broke, what, yesterday that there were some injury concerns for Derek Harmon. Today we've heard or learned that it's a shoulder. That, you know, again, that is that something that they're concerned about? Is it like a Jihad Campbell situation where he's, you know, going to have surgery, things of that nature? So I have them going with a different defensive lineman and another kind of interesting pick, but a guy that, you know, I've said it, like his metrics this year, he was the best defensive lineman and he's the best prospect, Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss.
That's fantastic. And I have the Chargers, even though they've got a running back at notch, guess what? I have the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh can't help himself, and he gets O'Marion Hampton to continue to just be able to run the ball and not have to throw the ball. And I think that it would make sense for that. I know that they've got that, but I know Harbaugh wants more than one running back, and Hampton gives that, which takes us to pick number 23, where you have a trade, and you have the Philadelphia Eagles moving up and swapping picks with the Packers.
Yeah, so again, another, you know, we'll go up, we'll take a chance on a guy, and what team is better at taking chances on defensive linemen that end up being just fantastic than the Eagles? So the Eagles go up with the Packers and get Shamar Stewart, the fall, the slide, ends here, and they get, you know, potentially the best athlete in the draft.
And that leads the Packers to who in my stay put, they get a receiver. They get the Ohio State guy. They get Emeka Buka, who then rounds out that receiving core for them, gives them a legit, like a guy who, like character wise, work habit wise, he's going, like, you're not going to. He's perfect in terms of mentality. Honestly, Egbuka would fit in Pittsburgh as well. They could use a guy like, so they don't have so much. They've got a lot of the diva in the receiver room right now with DK Metcalf and George Pickens. Egbuka is the opposite of that. He will do whatever is necessary, and I think that will play well in Green Bay and will be a nice fit.
Yeah, I would agree. And so, you know, from there we go to another NFC North team. They're, you know, obviously going off here, moving on from Sam Darnold, who had a Pro Bowl level season. You know, they're giving everything to JJ McCarthy, giving the keys to the kingdom. They've added two really solid offensive linemen. They have some questions in their secondary though, man. Like, you know, they've got Byron Murphy Jr., who's a nice nickelback. They brought in Isaiah Rogers. They've got Mekhi Blackman, who's Harrison Smith. I think you guys went to high school together. Like, that guy is getting up there in age. So you have him going one way in the secondary. I have him going another way in the secondary, but kind of to the same end. I have them taking Jahdae Barron. Barron's fall, so to speak, stops there. He's a guy that can play any of those spots that we just discussed, you know, whether it's strong safety for Josh Metellus, if he takes over from Mekhi Blackman, or you can move Byron Murphy outside and put Barron in the slot. He's kind of a jack of all trades there. And you have them going with just an absolute freak of nature.
And in the safety at Nick Emmanuori, Brian Flores is going to love having that guy. He's a giant. He's athletic. He can play all over the field. He's a playmaker, and that will be a nightmare, which takes us to number 25 of the Houston Texans. Once again, we diverge together. Josh Simmons, Ohio State, his fall ends. The Texans need a left tackle, and they get a left tackle. The question simply is, will he be able to play early? And it seems like reports are that he should be able to be ready by camp, which means you'll be able to plug him into the left side. And And then you get your former Buckeye quarterback protected by a former Buckeye tackle, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and I like that. You know, it makes the most sense. They're also a trade candidate. So, you know, another trade down situation to monitor for the Cardinals. You know, would they be willing to move down again? You know, just again, looking at cursory, the Texans have 25 and 79 and 89, or would it have to be 25 and 58 going down that far? You know, this draft could determine some things based on, you know, what the value is, but it's hard also to put a value on when that's probably the last, you know, day one level left tackle available.
And then we go to number 26 with the LA Rams. I have them beefing up the offensive line. They disappointed last year with Jonah Jackson, so they're going to bring in Tyler Booker, add beef to that inside, that interior. Got to protect Matthew Stafford, hope to open holes for Kyron Williams. But you have them going with the secondary by getting Trey Amos out of whatever state, Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss, and you look at their secondary, you look at what the Rams have. Darius Williams, not bad. Akilo Weatherspoon, you know, Quentin Lake's probably the best guy. They need some help along the defensive secondary. I think it makes some sense. That takes us to the Ravens, and we both have very Ravens-esque picks.
Oh, my goodness, yes. You've got them going with Derek Harmon. His fall ends there, and I have them taking Georgia safety Malachi Starks. Both, like, if they end up in Baltimore, it would make all the sense, and they'll both be great. Now, imagine Malachi Starks in that secondary with their other great safety back there. That's going to be devastating for opposing defense, for opposing offenses.
Yeah, I mean, you have you talk about it. You've got Kyle Hamilton, who's one of the best in the NFL. You know, Starks isn't going to have to play immediately, or he beats out our Darius Washington and he goes. You look at their defensive line, right? Broderick Washington's okay. You pair him next to, you know, Travis Jones and Nnamdi Matabuke, and you really like that pairing. So either of those guys fit. That takes us to the Lions, who, if you would have asked us this time last year, both of our picks, we've been like, that doesn't make sense. But nope. Coming off of what happened to them last year, I think it makes a ton of sense.
Yes, you have them going with an edge guy.
Yep.
The most athletic of the testing edge with James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. Productive, athletic, fast. I have them going a different direction. Does give you a little edge, but, you know, I have them going Jihad Campbell. They suffered injuries to, I think, 18 different inside linebackers. I would love to see Dan Campbell coaching a Jack Campbell and Jihad Campbell pairing at linebacker. And Campbell also gives you some juice off the edge.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. I would love that fit. As you mentioned, it would be great to see. You know, and it's a good fit. The Commanders, you know, they're really interesting because they're a team, obviously, when you're drafting this late, you kind of let the draft fall to you, but there's just so many ways that they can go. You know, you've got them going along the defensive line. I've got them, you know, taking a wide receiver, even though, you know, they have Terry McLaurin, they traded for Debo Samuel, but it just feels like they can't pass this up. I went with Emeka Abuka there, his fall ends, and you have them replacing, not Deron Payne, but who was the other great
Jonathan Allen,
who they traded. So and you have them going with, you know, a guy
Walter who would
be, you know, an improvement, quite frankly.
Yes, and which takes us to the Buffalo Bills at number 30. I give them a guy off the edge, James Pierce Jr. They need that defensive edge, and you have them going with a dynamic guy on the inside.
Yeah, I went with Kenneth Grant. I think he fits kind of their mold and what they're looking for. And again, with, you know, when it comes to defensive lineman types, if you're getting a guy that can give you 40% plus in year one, it's a good fit.
And moving on to number 31, the Kansas City Chiefs. We both have the same thing in mind, but different positions. The Chiefs need a left tackle. They trade away Joe Tooney. I have them going with Ohio State's Donovan Jackson, which hurts my soul as the Cardinals' ideal second-round pick, but he comes off the board. He gives them guard tackle possibility, while you have them going with a tackle.
Yeah, Josh Connerly out of Oregon. He's kind of got the late first bill up, right, that we see every year where guys end up getting into the first round that you're like, I don't know, you know, really, but I think he fits what they do and what they want to do.
And then we wrap things up for the 32nd pick. We both have the same player. It's just for different teams. The defending Super Bowl champions replace Josh Sweat with Donovan Isiraku, out of Boston College. Seems like the most Eagles pick. Now, they went up to go get Shamar Stewart and Seth Smack, and so the Packers also get easy to wrap up the first round. How for you, how do you think that first round played out for you? How comfortable do you feel with it?
Not at all. I mean, after the first four picks, you know, starting with Jacksonville, I think it's going to be a crapshoot. It'll be interesting if it ends up being chalky, right? Like if we see Mason Graham, Ashton Diente, Armand Membu, Jalen Walker rounding out the top eight. And then
that
would
be interesting.
You know, like, oh, you know, that's what everybody thought was going to happen. And then the draft really starts at nine, and do the Saints pull the trigger, right?
Who are the players that, in your opinion, like there were two notable players for me that I just didn't get in the first round, and that's Jody Barron and that's Gray Zabel. Was there anyone that you're like, ooh, they were probably should have gone the first round, but it just didn't work?
I mean, there's a couple. Tyler Booker, I didn't get in the first round. I don't know where he fits. He's a really talented player. I just don't like that metric testing is so bad. I just don't know how he fits into the first round. And then Omarion Hampton, I think he's going to go in the first round. Again, I just don't know where he fits in that first round.
And so with that, this is our 11th annual mock draft. This will hit the day before the draft. So, hey, listen to it. Make fun of us. Surprise us. Mock us. Whatever you want to do. The actual draft's coming on Thursday. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening, as always. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.